If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. You're ready for our questions, Doc?
I sure am, Bob. How are you doing?
All right. Doing great. Just reported on Northwestern Medicine's researchers finding out that severe vitamin D deficiency appears to play a significant role in COVID-19 patient outcomes. We've been talking about the importance of vitamin D with you for the past few weeks, and this kind of underlines that, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, as people get into the summer, they think they may not need that vitamin D supplement, but we have to remember we're coming out of the winter when we've probably depleted a lot of our stored vitamin D in our body. So vitamin D supplements and getting out in the sun is very important because we know the importance in the immune system with vitamin D.
Talking about supplements, a couple of stories in the last couple of days, one about selenium and the virus, and another about vitamin C and something called ArmaForce. Let's talk about selenium first. How do we get that, and why do we need it?
Yeah, you know, selenium is a basic element that's, you know, pretty much found in grains and vegetables for the big part. And we actually get it more from our fish and our seafood and our poultry. The interesting thing about selenium is it's an antioxidant which repairs cells, it boosts our immune system, and it's an anti-inflammatory. So if you look at what's going on with a disease like COVID, where the virus is damaging our cells, boy, we need that. It's causing inflammation. Boy, we need that. And we need a strong immune system. So it's hitting on all three. That being said, if you're eating a regular good diet here in the United States, you don't need a selenium boost. You don't need to take it outside of what your normal diet is. And in fact, it's contained in many of the multivitamins. If you take a multivitamin, you're going to get that as well.
And as far as food goes, did you say it's in grains?
Yeah, it's in cereals, so, you know, the wheat grains. But really, if people have a good protein base of either fish, seafood, or poultry each day, or meat, you know, they're going to get enough. It was interesting that even the study that came out, they were looking at China and the areas of China that they know they have low selenium levels in patients, and the mortality rate was so much higher. Now, the study has kind of gotten a little bit of, well, let's not jump to that conclusion, because they were finding the selenium levels not by taking blood tests and saying what was going on immediately, but looking at hair samples. So you can imagine, especially if we did that now in the United States, no one's had a haircut for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. We'd be looking at selenium levels from, you know, 2 months ago.
Right. Good point. We had the story Friday, too, about vitamin C and something called ArmaForce flying off the shelves. What's going on there?
Yeah. So, you know, so vitamin C, the important thing about vitamin C is it's almost like selenium. If you look at these vitamins and the importance of what they're doing, look at what they do. So it helps repair body tissues, antioxidant again. Helps our build and boost our immune system, so those two, and decreases our risk of heart disease. So that's really the important ones right there and the important uses of that. Now, we have tried it in patients, actually giving them IV vitamin C, high-dose vitamin C for some COVID patients. The data is still not clear as to the impact of that. But we have to remember, and we've told this to people all the time, the importance of taking vitamin C every day, because it's not stored like vitamin D is in your body. It's water-soluble, so you have to replenish that every day. So if you're eating broccoli or orange juice, or if you're like Dave Bennett, he gets enough vitamin C in his kale salad every day,
right.
Tomatoes, strawberries, those are the places that you're going to get the vitamin C that you actually need.
I wanted to ask you about another story in the news recently, foot sores being a symptom of the virus. Have you heard about that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely. It's called COVID toes. And it's interesting, we're seeing it in children, and I shouldn't say children, I should say kids and adolescents. So it's not little kids, but it's adolescents. And it's a swelling of the toes, and actually we see it sometimes in the heel as well. And the rash also often looks like a chicken pox-like rash. So it's interesting. We're seeing it in kids that didn't even have COVID symptoms, but then when we do the antibody testing, we're seeing that they actually were exposed to COVID and got over the illness, but now this is a repercussion of that. So we really think that it's part of this vasculitis, in other words, the inflammation of the vascular system, and it goes to the portion furthest from the heart, which is our toes. So unclear as to what the clinical impact of that is going to be. And unfortunately, it would be nice if you saw it before the illness came on or you saw it when the illness was there, but actually it's seen after you've already recovered from the illness. So now we just have to hope that this resolves, which it appears that it does, after a week or two in these kids with no lasting disabilities.
Oh, by the way, ArmaForce, apparently it's a brand. It's a formula combining herbal and nutritional ingredients from Bioceuticals, and people are buying that like crazy now. I guess folks are searching for anything, but you know, it's a good idea to focus on your immune system. We're hearing about all the things we can't do. Well, one of the things we can do is, even under quarantine, watch our diet, get some exercise, get some sleep, as you've been telling us, Doc, and stay healthy and boost the immune system. That's all we got.
Absolutely. And it's kind of interesting, you know, with restaurants closed or at least just down to carry out, more and more people are actually cooking at home and learning how to cook again, I guess I would say, instead of the reliance that we also often have on restaurants. So we're starting to take the opportunity for people to cook healthier. So they're starting to think about that a little bit more, and they're having vegetables every night because they're going to the grocery stores instead of going to the restaurants. And I think once you buy a meal and you buy the food, you're going to make sure, like you did when you were growing up, Bob, you know, you can't leave the table till your broccoli's gone. So parents are doing that again with kids, which is great.
Yeah, especially now. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And, Doc, we were hearing a lot about remdesivir, how it shortens the hospital stays for people with the virus and perhaps reduces the mortality rate. What is your experience with remdesivir? Do you have it in huge supply now?
I wish we all had it in a huge supply. Yes, fortunately, Northwestern was one of the institutions chosen to be in the NIH study that showed that remdesivir actually shortened the duration and decreased the mortality. So we really were thinking, boy, this is great. We have this great medication, and we're off to the races. Well, it's not quite off to the races yet, unfortunately. So Gilead, the company that makes remdesivir, and everybody gets upset with big pharma companies, you know, and that they're making too much of a profit. Everyone needs to realize that remdesivir early on started making doses of this before they knew it even worked. They made 1.5 million doses on the risk that it may not have worked, but they still went and did it. Then they turned around and they said, you know what, we're going to donate this medication to the world. So they're not making money on this right now. Matter of fact, everything that they took or everything that they made has now been distributed around the world. So they made 1.5 million doses of it. The United States received 40%. On Friday or Thursday of last week, the federal government decided how it would be pushed out, and it upset a lot of people. I'll give you an example. In Chicago, only Rush University was the only hospital that got any of the medication, even though Northwestern, Rush, and University of Chicago all participated in the study.
I thought we had plenty of this drug around.
Oh, there was plenty for the study, but there's not plenty now when you're looking at, you know, 3 million people with this illness, and, you know, we would have enough to treat about 78,000, so in the United States with our 40%. So the 607,000 vials that we got will treat about 78,000 people. Mm-hmm. So people, the states got upset. Happened in Boston as well with Mass General and Brigham. And the federal government stepped back and said, whoa, time out. We're not going to distribute this anymore. We're going to give it to the state. So now each state's health department will be given the medication, and they will distribute it as they see appropriately for hot spots. So a little misstep in the beginning from the federal government, but it looks like now it's going to be back in the state's hands to make sure that they're getting it to the right places, and hopefully we'll get some doses more doses here in the Chicago area where we really need it.
Yeah, that would be good. Mr. Annett has his hand up. Dave?
Doc, good morning. A question came up over the weekend about masks. And very simply, if you wear a mask and then remove it, set it aside, can you use that same mask later, or do you have to put on another one?
No, you can definitely use that later. You have to remember that the mask is protecting others from you. So I get a mask on Monday, and I'll wear it for, I try to wear it for the entire week, to be honest with you. I just try to use the same mask to make sure that we're conserving as much PPE as we possibly can. But once you take it off, I took off my mask right now. It's sitting on my desk. I'm going to put it back on after I'm off done with this conversation, and I'll use that mask for the next couple of days. It's protecting others from you. So whatever's on that mask was already in your body. And if you leave it sit overnight, there's no virus in there. So you can certainly do that. Now, don't share masks, but certainly right. Each individual can use a mask over and over again until it's, at a point where it doesn't fit well.
Now, a lot of people are wondering if they need to wash their masks.
Well, if you have the cloth mask, it certainly isn't a bad idea to wash it. The paper masks that you see a lot are essentially disposable. But those who are invested in a cloth mask or a gaiter, absolutely, go ahead and wash it. Just make sure you don't use a lot of strong detergent because you're going to be breathing through that the entire day.
A lot of folks were out and about walking, running. Even though it was cold, we had some sunshine. And as I've said here, I've seen people, everybody's friendly and waving, but they do treat me like I have leprosy when they pass by and they go to the other side of the side of the road. And I was thinking about this. If you're outside and you walk past someone or run past somebody, to get infected by them, you'd have to be in their airstream for a period of time, wouldn't you? Because if you're exercising and you're breathing heavily and you're releasing perhaps the virus in the air, you would have to be exposed for a period of time, wouldn't you, Doc? Really, if you just pass by, do you need to worry?
No, you're absolutely right, 100%. And think about it. You're going one direction, the other person's going the other direction. The chance of you getting a good dose of a virus at that point is very low. And it is interesting when we're outside, we'll do that. But have you been to the grocery store?
Yes.
So you pass somebody walking, pushing a cart. We don't run by them in a grocery store. And yet when we're outside with all this circulating air, we really space out even further. That's okay. It's a good reminder of what we should do. But if you stop and think about it and say, wait, I just was in the grocery store. I walked right by somebody very slow. As a matter of fact, I stopped and looked at ketchup costs before I, So we're more exposed in a grocery store than we are outside for our walk. So please, people, continue to get your walks. You need the fresh air. You need the sunlight.
Yeah. Do what I do if somebody is coming too close to you. Hold your breath for a couple of seconds.
There you go. People can do that. If that makes you feel better or less anxious, then absolutely do that.
Are you still seeing patients with pink eye who have the virus? Is that a symptom?
Well, it is. When this first started, what were we thinking? Fever, dry cough, fatigue, and sore throat. That was it. Those were the big four symptoms that we were thinking. Now, as this has gone across the world, we're starting to remember we found out, boy, anybody who's had a loss of taste or smell. Now we know that actually it can get in the GI system and cause diarrhea. Well, it can also cause pink eye. And that's why if you watch any of the shows or any of the news, you'll see all the healthcare givers are wearing goggles as well as face masks. Two reasons. One, it can get in the eye and then cause the virus. And then two, the inflammation in the eye can show conjunctivitis. It's not rarely seen, but it's seen 10% of the time, maybe, where these other symptoms are seen much more frequently. And again, we have to remember that some people have this illness with no symptoms whatsoever. So the wide stream of this going from our lungs to our digestive system to our heart to our brain to our eyes is just showing how this thing can wreak havoc.
And Doc, do you expect to see more cases now where businesses are opening, like right next door in Indiana, more people are getting out and about, even some traveling now? Are you expecting a big spike?
I'm hoping that we don't get a big spike. You know, I'm afraid that we're going to get a spike. You know, we're surrounded, not so much to the Iowa side, but, you know, how close we are to Wisconsin, how close we are to Indiana. We have many people who live in Chicago and work in Indiana and vice versa. So, you know, when they're starting to open restaurants at 50%, they're starting to open some of these things, we're going to expect that we're going to get a spike. We just hope it's not a big spike. We've been able to dampen this curve to not stress too many of the hospitals in Chicago, and I would hate to see those being stressed later.
Yeah, I see Illinois deaths were finally down, so hopefully we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, our numbers went down here at Central DuPage over the weekend, which it was nice. We were almost up to 90 patients on Friday, and we got down to 73 or 74 yesterday. I haven't seen the numbers yet for today. I would love to see that trend continue. And if it does, you know, kudos and thank you to everyone out there who is doing all the things that we've talked about, you know, for the past 5 weeks.
We just have to be patient and be smart. Dr.
Yep.
Kevin Most, thanks as always. Look forward to our visit again next Monday, Doc.
You got it, Bob. Take care.
You too. Have a good one.